So I'll reiterate the thanks to the Cones for hosting, and to Ayelet for putting this together, and to all of you for coming out tonight. I don't know if you plan to stay up for the 12 o'clock drasha and the slichos. Whether or not you are or not, the yashar koach for you for spending a Mati Shabbos like this in a way of learning and growing. One of the kapitel tehillim that we say, particularly on Yom Chamishi, the fifth day of the week, Thursday, Nishil Shayom, is a kapitel that's all about the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah. And the pasuk tells us, Eidus b'Yosef samo b'tzeiso al Eretz Mitzrayim. It refers to Yosef's leaving of jail, which took place in Rosh Hashanah. And the end of that kapitel talks about ve'achileu mechilav chita, to take some of the fat of the wheat, which means bread, umitzur dvash aspiyaka, and to dip it into honey. And the Mefarshim explained that this is a makor to dipping chal into honey. And this whole kapitel is all about Rosh Hashanah. So there's one pasuk I want to stress in this kapitel, which is tiku v'chodesh shofar. There's a month when we blow the shofar, which is Rosh Hashanah. Bekesel Yom Chagenu. The pasuk says Bekesel Yom Chagenu, which means something's hidden. Something's hidden on this month. What exactly is hidden on the month, on this Chag, this Yontif of Rosh Hashanah? So the way Rashi understands Bekesel Yom Chagenu is that every other Yontif you could see the moon. Sukkis is the 15th of Tishrei. The 15th of the month is a full moon. And Pesach is the 15th of Nisan, that's a full moon. So you could see the moon very clearly. And Shavuos is Vav Sivan, which is the middle, where it's half moon. But Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the month where the moon is hidden. The Gemara asks, Eze Chodesh, which is the Chodesh where the Levana is Kitzoy, it's hidden? The answer is Rosh Hashanah. You can't see the moon. It's brand new. So something is hidden about the moon, and what's the significance of the moon being hidden? And there are other things that are also hidden. You probably wouldn't know this standing behind the mechitza, and I probably wouldn't notice this either, only because I stand up at the bima when they blow the shofar. But there's a very strange minhag that I think all shuls do, is when they say the bracha on the shofar. The Baal Tokeh says a bracha. So when you say a bracha on a mitzvah, let's say you shake lulav and esrog. Well, if you're a Svardi, so you wouldn't say bracha. Svardim don't say brachas on mitzvah. Women don't say brachas mitzvah, say shazma and grama. But all the Ashkenazim here, you hold the esog and lulav in hand, the esog's upside down, you say the bracha, and then you flip the esog the right way. Because the mitzvah is always supposed to be in front of you when you're performing a mitzvah. But when it comes to shofar, there's something very strange. The Baal Tokeh, anyone know what the Baal Tokeh does with the shofar when he says the bracha? He puts a cover over the shofar. He holds it, because you're supposed to hold something in hand, but he covers it in a very strange way, and he says the bracha, and then he uncovers it and gets ready and blows the shofar. So that's another aspect of kisur. Other things that are hidden on Rosh Hashanah is that Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Chodesh. Now, it's Rosh Chodesh, but we don't mention Rosh Chodesh in tefillah at all. The halacha is that we don't mention anything about Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Chodesh is hidden on Rosh Hashanah as well. And we also don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. But every other Rosh Chodesh of the year, we say a Hallel. So we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. But why don't we say Hallel? So the Gemara says because we don't know what's going to be, will we be written down in Sefer Chaim, Sefer Meis. But there's Rosh Chodesh there, which we normally would say a Hallel, which is hidden as well. So something is interesting about the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah, where there's this Bekesel Yom Chagenu, where the moon is hidden, where Rosh Chodesh is hidden, Hallel is hidden, the shofar is hidden. So what's the lesson? So I was talking about Shev Erev Shabbos. She asked what I was talking about, and I told her briefly what I was referring to, and she said they learned this in TMM just the other day, what I'm about to say. So I'm going to elaborate a little bit more and take a slightly different angle from those who were present at this Parsha Shir, the other day. So there's a fascinating thing that takes place throughout the calendar. the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Chasan, he's the man. And Klal Yisrael is the Kala. So I see a number of TMM girls are smiling about this. And Tu B'Av, during the 3 weeks, is when there was a separation between husband and wife, Chasan and Kala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And then Tu B'Av is when the Kala, which is Klal Yisrael, started to dance wearing white clothing. And there is a reunion of a Klal Yisrael and a Kaddish Baruch. Now, if you count how many days from Tu B'Av till Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is the Yom Chupasa, the Chuppah is Yom Kippur, there are 55 days from Tu B'Av into Yom Kippur. Now, the significance of 55 is as follows. Anyone good at math here? I saw Ms. Adelson, she's probably listening in the kitchen, she's very good at math. So the gematria of Kala is 55. Because it takes 55 days for the Kala to prepare herself from Tu B'Av until the Yom Chupasa. Now, we're going to go a little bit deeper into the gematria, if that's okay. Who knows what the highest number letter we have in gematria is? Anyone know? Should I call people? No one's to... Come on, you guys know this. No one knows the highest letter?
Tough,
yeah. Tough is 400. Anyone think it's not? Who thinks tough is the highest number in gematria?
Well, the guess would be no, because
I'm setting you guys up. The answer is tough is not really the highest number. We know in the 22 letters, the Aleph Beis, there are really more letters. There's what's called an endachaf, the end of mem, end of nun, and the pei, and the tzadi. Those end of letters are actually more than tough. So meaning after tough, there comes the end of chaf, which is 500. And then comes an end of mem, which is 600. And then end of nun, and end of pei, and the tzadi gets you all the way up to 900. So there's a pasuk we're going to learn in a couple weeks in Hazinu. Hazinu begins as follows. Hazinu Hashemayim Vadabera. That the Shemayim should listen, I'm going to speak. The gematria of Hashemayim, you don't have to do the math, I'll tell you, is 955, okay? Hashemayim, because the end of Mem is really 600. So Hashemayim is 955. Now, who could guess how many psukim there are in all of Sefer Devarim?
955.
There are 955 psukim in all of Sefer Devarim, which is the gematria of Hashemayim. And now, we're getting a little deep here. In the Shemayim, there are many Rekim. Rekim are different layers of the Shemayim. So Rav Bein Bachai tells us there are 955 layers of the Rekia, which is the amount of Pesukim in Devarim. So as we read each Pasuk, we're climbing a different Rekia in Sefer Devarim, getting higher and higher. The last 55 psukim, the last 55 rekim is where it's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Every other section, the rekia, the malachim, the different angels, but once we get to the last 55, it's the chasen and kala alone. The kala is gematria 55 again, it's just us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So listen to this pasuk. After 900 psukim in Dvarim, the 901st pasuk, which is the beginning of the 55 last psukim, is as follows. Now, it's very chaviv to me, this pasuk. It's very chaviv to my wife. And it's very chaviv to Bathsheba, because she's her daughter, because my wife's name is Rachel. Rachel Sarah. But Rachel, the pasuk that she says every single day in her Shemoneh Esrei, is Re'u, starts with a resh, Re'u ata, ki ani hu ve'ein elokim imadi, ani amis ve'achaya, ends with a lamed. This is Rachel's pasuk. Now, the reason why this is the 901st pasuk, again, the first pasuk of the 55 last pasukim, is because ki ani hu ve'ein elokim imadi. Just me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no one else is here. It's just the chasen and kala. That's what 55 means. Those are the 55 days from Tu B'Av until Yom Kippur. Now, who could guess the 55th pasuk of Sefer Bereishis, of all of Torah from the beginning? The 55th pasuk is Al Kein Yazov Ish Es Aviv Es Imo. When a man leaves his parents, the Davak Be'isho, he marries a woman, V'hayu L'Basar Echad, and they're one. Because the 55th pasuk represents the chasan and kala coming together. And those are the 55 days between Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. Did they teach you that? Oh, so that's how you knew. Okay, good. So now, so Tu B'Av is where they dated, let's say. What's Rosh Hashanah? We'll figure out where Rosh Hashanah is in a second. Yom Kippur is the Chuppah. Sukkot, you learned, was the Sheva Brachos. There's 7 days of Sukkot. The 8th day, Shmi Atzeres, is something different. There's 7 brachos. 7 days of Sheva Brachos. Now, who knows? There's a certain halacha. Who's been to Sheva Brachos here? You've been to Sheva Brachos? Have you heard of Parm Chadashos? Right? You need to have someone who was new, who was never there before. So that's the 7 Ushpizen. Right? We have different guests each night of Sukkot. There's Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and so on. Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. Because each day of Sukkot, there's another face. That's Parm Chadashos. So we have now a Tu B'Av, which is the dating period. We have Yom Kippur, which is the Chuppah. And we have Sukkot, which is the Sheva Brachos. But what is Rosh Hashanah? Can anyone suggest what Rosh Hashanah? I know Bat Sheva said that the teacher, I don't remember her name, it was the shofar was saying the yes. Yes, I do. Marry me. I have a different understanding of what is Rosh Hashanah. Anyone suggest what Rosh Hashanah might be? So there's the Bedekin. Maybe the Bedekin at a chuppah. And the Bedekin is what? What's the chasen? Do he come to make sure this is his wife? Because in history we've had a switching of wives. Rachel and Leah. There was a little bit of confusion who Yaakov was marrying. So Rosh Hashanah is making sure who's under that kisa, who's under that cover, who's under that veil. Did she say this? No. Okay, I'm sorry to keep going back to you, Bat Sheva. She shouldn't have said it. Sit next to me. It's not fair. So Rosh Hashanah is checking underneath the veil, underneath the kisrei, underneath the bakes liyom chagenu. Who is the one who's getting married? Who's the kala? Who's that kala? Because there's an inyan of a kala tsnua. The kala has to be tsanua, has to be covered and modest. And the levana that's hidden, Kadosh Baruch Hu is compared to the Shemesh. The sun gives light, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives light. And Klai Yisrael, we're compared to Levana. In many ways. So we're the Kala. Klai Yisrael is the Levana, the moon that's hidden. That's Bekes Liyom Chagenu on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara tells us that after the Luchos Rishonos were broken, so we were given the 24 books of Tanakh. Had we just had the first Luchos, we wouldn't have 24 books of Tanakh. The Gemara says all we would have would be the 5 books of the Torah, Chamishi Chamshi Torah, and Sefer Yeshua. Nothing else. But the Luchos are broken. And then the Gemara says we were given 24 books of Tanakh. And the Gemara says those 24 books are the Tachshitim, the different pieces of jewelry that a Kala wears. Because the first Luchos were given in public. People knew about it. The world was shaking. But came the Luchos Shnios, it was given Bitznis, in a hidden way. And the Torah was covered, it was enveloped with 24 books of Tanakh as a Tachshitim, because these second Luchos, during the times of Rosh Hashanah, it was given Yom Kippur, was the time we received it. And the 40 days from Elul up until Yom Kippur was when we were preparing to the receiving of the Torah. So the 24 Tachshitim that were given Dafka with the Luchos Shnios are the coverings of the Kala, which is Klai Yisrael, which is the Kala. So now we look at Rosh Hashanah, so the moon is hidden, and the shofar is hidden underneath that cover when the bracha is said. So what does a shofar mean? What does the word shofar mean? Shofar is from the word shufra, or, you know what shifra means, or shifa? Yeah. Beautiful, exactly. Shufra and shifra means beautiful, because the kala is beautiful. And so the shofar, the beautiful kala, is hidden underneath that cover, a kala tsnua. And when you have something that's precious, you want to wrap it up. When you give a present, it's much more impactful when you wrap it up. And the more beautiful that present is, the more beautiful you're going to wrap that present. So we, as the Levana, we as Klai Yisrael, we as a Kala, are hidden. We're covered up on this day of Rosh Hashanah because we're preparing for the Yom Chuppah. So we're preparing to make sure who's under that cover. Are we the right Kala or are we not the right Kala? Are we Roy? Are we fit to be married to Kadosh Baruch Hu or are we not fit? So that's a little peeking underneath the cover on Rosh Hashanah, underneath the shofar, the beauty of the shofar. Now it's fascinating, the Bnei Sascha writes that he never heard of a custom of anyone doing simanim on the second night. What are the simanim? So I'm sure you all do simanim, right? You have the apple and the honey, and you say the yiratzon, and you dip the dates, and you dip the figs, and the pomegranates, and the fish head, and any sheep heads? Nice, Fader's got to do sheep heads. There you go. Sheep heads, fish heads, whatever it is, all types of simanim. So what's the significance of simanim? So B'nai Saskar says he only heard of people doing simanim first night, but he never heard of people doing the second night. Now the truth is there some do second night. But what's the significance of simanim? So says the B'nai Saskar, an incredible thing. First day Rosh Hashanah and second day Rosh Hashanah represent two kalas. Can anyone guess which two kalas they represent? Leah and Rachel. Remember, Rachel was in that pasuk we just mentioned before. My wife's pasuk, Rachel. The first night is Leah, Kala A. The second night, Rachel, Kala B. And we know what happened that night, that Rachel gave the simanim over to Leah as to not embarrass her. So B'nai Saskar writes, there's only an inyan to have simanim on the first night. Because Leah, who's the first night, had the simanim. Rachel did not have the simanim. Because we're trying to figure out who's the kala under the chuppah. Who's the kala underneath that veil? Is it Leah or is it Rachel or is it both? Because they're really both there. But that's the inyan of Rosh Hashanah, trying to uncover the beauty that's beneath. I'm not here to talk about tznius of how to dress. That's not my job to do. It's not my inyan. But I want to speak about, just briefly, about tznius in a different way. In the way one conducts himself, the way one talks, the way one respects their own personal life, the way they respect other people's lives. Rav Weinberg has this joke. He says, a secret is something you tell one person at a time, which means that eventually everyone's going to find out. You whisper it, and then she whispers to someone else and to someone else. But that's not what a secret is supposed to be. When a person shares a secret, it's meant to be between you and her. That's what tznius is, really keeping secrets. Keeping secrets about yourself. Not everyone has to know what grade you got on the test. Not everyone has to know where you shop. Not everyone has to know where you vacation. Not everyone has to know every time you took a picture of whatever you're taking a picture of. There's a certain level of modesty just about your own personal life. Now, it's more challenging with everything that's out there with WhatsApp and any other social media, just to snap a picture and just send it out. But a kala tznua means respecting yourself and those around you in terms of that level of humility and modesty. So we know that's exactly what happened when Rachel had given the simanim over to Leah. Because the Gemara tells us that what really leads to geula, what really leads to redemption and Yeshua, is when a person carries himself in a tzanua way. And the Gemara says, "Bischar tznius," the humility shahayisa babaracha that Rachel had, she was zocha to have a offspring of Shaul HaMelech. And the schar of the tznius that Shaul had, he was zocha to have Esther come from him. And the Gemara goes on to explain, well, what was the tznius that Rachel had? So the Gemara says, because that evening that Rachel had been maser la simanim, she handed over the simanim over to her sister Leah to avoid any type of embarrassment for Leah. And because of that, she was zocha to Shaul. And what was the tznius that Shaul had? It wasn't because he dressed in a certain way. The Gemara says, because when Shmuel appointed Shaul king, the pasuk says, "Ves dvar hamlucha lo higilo asher amar Shmuel." Shaul didn't tell a person he was appointed king. He went somewhere, he met Shmuel, and Shmuel says, "You're king." Shaul went back home with his parents and didn't say a thing to his parents. He did not tell his parents that he was appointed king to his own parents. The idea of holding on to something special, a secret. Now, I'm not telling you not to share with your parents. That's not the lesson. You certainly should share things with your parents. It's extremely important. This is something about his modesty of being king. I mean, that's big news. If you become appointed queen, you should tell your parents, okay? But there's something about Shaul, what he had accomplished, the tznius, that led to incredible zechus he had of eventually having Esther come from Shaul. Because eventually, Esther also had the same theme, and she had a big geula, because she didn't tell Ahasuerus where she came from. You imagine that? She was living in the palace. She was the queen. And her husband Ahasuerus, who was not a soft individual, was begging and bribing her to tell him who she is and where she came from. And she did not reveal the little secret. And because she held on to that secret, led to the geula from the story of Purim. And that's the truth in everything. That really tznius, in terms of keeping secrets and protecting your own self and respect, that leads to the geula and that leads to Yeshua. Moshe Beinu, when he was in Mitzrayim, when he told Das and Vavirim not to fight, stop hitting each other, and they said, "Are you going to kill us like you killed the Mitzri?" And Moshe is wondering, how did they know I killed the Mitzri? He said, "Achei no d'hadavar, now I know they're not worthy of Gula, because they didn't keep secrets." The fact that they found out that Moshe had killed the Mitzri indicated that someone told someone who told someone who told someone who told someone else. And if you're not being tanua in terms of secrets and respect for one another, they're not roy for the Gula and Moshe Rabbeinu ran away. But because Esther was careful about holding secrets, because Shaul was careful, because Rachel was careful about holding on to secrets, that leads to Yeshua. And that's really what Rosh Hashanah is all about holding on to secrets. Because holding on to secrets leads to the Gula. So my wife mentioned we read Vashem Poked Sarah on one day Rosh Hashanah, which is when Sarah was barren. Sarah was an Akara, and she was Zochet to have a child. It happened Rosh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered her Rosh Hashanah. She was Zochet to Yitzchak Avinu. The Kli Yakar says, what zechus did she have? So in Parsha Vayera, which is the parsha of Rosh Hashanah, when the Malachim came to visit Avram, they said, well, where's your wife? What did he say? What did Avram tell the Malachim? Where is she?
In the tent.
In the tent, in the oil. So says the Kli Yakar, because it's tznius she had, that she was in the oil. I'm not telling you to say in the oil. I'm telling you to say inside. But there's a certain level of tznius and humility and modesty that she had, that she was zocha to a child. Because tznius of self-respect leads to tremendous Yeshua. So I'll finish off with just a funny story about, you know, finding, keeping secrets and uncovering secrets and leading to Yeshua. My wife and I, in the summer, we went to the city for a day, and we went to a spy museum. Museum about spies, about secrets, uncovering secrets. And it was fascinating because there was a whole course you went on, and they would tell you at the end where you would be in the spy department. If you were a detective, or you were going to be this position, that position. So based on various courses you took or questions you answered, they would tell you at the end where you would be in this particular department. So my wife and I are going through, there are different missions, and there's like one mission where you there was a room, and there are these laser lights going across, and there are lights on each of the walls, and you have to try to avoid hitting the lasers and hitting as many lights as possible. So I took this really seriously. I was like jumping over and going underneath and hitting, boom. I did really well in this part. My wife did it. She did okay. Then there's like all the these brain questions of figuring this out and this math equation and this. And I did really well. I got like 13 out of 15, and my wife got like 8 out of 15. And then another room, there was, in this big room, you put on these headphones, and there are like 80 screens, video cameras running, and they ask you a question. You have to locate like the man in the pink jacket. You have to try to find quickly in 5 seconds where he is. And all these 20 questions, I did so awesome in this. My wife, she did okay. And then at the end, we're like, I'm so excited to find out the results. My wife plugs in a result, and she's like, special undercover agent going like into Iraq, you know? And then I plug my, like, what if she's that, what am I going to be? So I plug in my, put my thing in, and it says, surveillance guy. Which is like a, pretty much a guy sitting behind a screen eating donuts. That's what I got. But at the end of the day, what Rosh Hashanah is all about is that point of being an undercover cop, undercover detective, a special agent. Because Bekesel Yom Chageinu, it's a yantif where the moon is hidden, where the kala is hidden, where the shofar, the beauty is hidden. But when you get underneath it, Leah and Rachel, all the simanim, all that coming together. It's really figuring out who are you as the Kala. Which type of year are you going to have underneath that veil? When you're going to reunite with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and remarry HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you will, Yom Kippur, who's that Kala? What type of person are you going to be this year? And that's what's going to define your upcoming year. So in that zechus, we shall be zocha to have a year that we each individually come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a tzibur, as a klal, to be reunited with the chasen and kala under the chuppah, with the gula shleima ba'amitas, meher v'amenu, amen v'amen.
Amen.